News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. I've gotten off some pretty good sneezes this morning. None of them have been on the air, which is miraculous because I don't know when they're coming.
On behalf of everyone listening right now that you can't hear their voice, bless you. That's from all of us.
Yeah. Oh, man. They may have heard it, just not on the air. I mean, just out of the building. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Going to get to a lot of talking points this hour. The phone lines are open for you. You've been texting already this morning, but if you want to call and chat about anything we're talking about or start your own conversation, that's fine. 251-343-0106.
Yeah, Rob Holbert with Lanyap will join us in the second half of this hour. And I mentioned it last hour. If there's a theme for the Mobile City Council and Mobile County Commission this month, it would be retain and or renovate. With all of the discussions around the Mobile Civic Center, we've also talked about this company from Canada, Canfor, the logging company, or I guess
sawmill.
The sawmill, $14.2 million in incentives to keep them in their next sawmill in Mobile County. But also a lot of new business they're talking about coming into Mobile, and lots of talk, of course, in Baldwin County of that as well. And we'll get into the Topgolf thing here in just a minute regarding that. But we'll talk about the Civic Center and the bridge with Rob in the after 8:30.
Glad Stadium open for high school football again. We have to talk about that, too.
Yes, and not a lot of mention of the security situation.
In the story. I wish more was in there about the security, because I think that was obviously the crux of the matter of the shooting.
First, though, I have some overnight, some breaking news regarding our College Pick'em Challenge this year, which gets started with the first real week of college football. The first game's on September 3rd. And while we'll be out at the Business Expo today from the Mobile Chamber, they're holding that at the Mobile Convention Center like they do every year, the FM Talk fan is already there. It's just waiting on us to arrive. So you can come see us there and get some of the new FM Talk swag that we have. And also Sean doing Midday Mobile today starting at noon at the Convention Center. Would love to see you out there. But we'd also love to see you join the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. Like I said, we have until Saturday, September 3rd, before the first games kick off, to get signed up, and you want to win. This is a season-long contest that we're having. We've held it several years, but this year we have a major prize, and that's because Spring Hill Ace Hardware is sponsoring this year's FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. I'm not sure how much I'm allowed to reveal right now.
I don't think we have to reveal right now. Tip Wingard put a prize package together, and he's a big listener to the radio station. They're also good business partners with us as well. It's worth a good bit of money. When you look at everything you could win, they're taking all the best stuff off of the shelves at Spring Hill Ace Hardware.
It's like a tailgate package.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a tailgate package.
Tip, a great dude. I've been into Spring Hill Ace plenty of times, and I think like so many of us, you walk through and you're like, man, that would be awesome to have. That would be awesome to have. That would be awesome to have. It's like we asked Tip, okay, you're going to go tailgate this year. What would you want at the tailgate? And he said, okay, he got this prize package together, and one person will win all of that. Whoever ends up having the most points at the end of the year in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. We have it linked through at the top of our Facebook page. It's also at the very tip top of our website at fmtalk1065.com. Just click on that, and you'll follow the links, and then sign up at ESPN. And every week, 10 games you have to pick the winners of, and put confidence points for how confident you are in that team winning the game. We'll talk about it throughout the year, and the winner at the end of the year will get this awesome package from Spring Hill Ace Hardware. So check that out. Also, if you'd rather, you could text us while we're on the air before the Jeff Poor Show, and I'll send that link over to you on the text line.
That prize pack is worth nearly $1,400.
Yeah, so, serious.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, it used to just be about bragging rights. Now this might get dark with some of the people trying to win this. Could get pretty brutal.
You were real real excited about that crummy little crown you wanted to buy.
Yeah.
So this is up the ante a whole bunch of thanks to our buddy Tip Winger.
So the news has kind of been floating around for a while now.
Would say almost a year.
Yeah.
About Topgolf?
About Topgolf coming to McGowan Park. And you've heard, if you've been listening this morning, Bill Riles on our WKRG News update, talking about Topgolf coming to Mobile potentially, and the Mobile County Commission set to talk and vote next week on tax incentives in order to bring Topgolf to Mobile. Now, I'm like so many of you out there, giving big breaks to businesses, you know, it helps a lot. I mean, there's a reason that so many big businesses have decided to set up shop in Alabama and then down here in Baldwin and Mobile counties. But there is a limit, right? There's only so much that people want to see their tax dollars go towards, especially if that ROI isn't necessarily coming back. So the tax incentives involved here at this point, like so many things, it would be split between the Mobile County Commission and the Mobile City Council for a total of $2.5 million in incentives. One and a quarter coming from the county commission, one and a quarter coming from the city. So next week, the county commissioners will discuss the idea. Actually, I guess they're discussing it this morning and then could vote as early as Monday. It's also supposed to be on the Mobile City Council agenda next week with a possible vote the following week. So two Tuesdays from now, the council may be voting on it. If you're unaware of what Topgolf is, I've played it, I think, twice. Once was in San Antonio, which was a wild experience for what happened. It doesn't have much to do with Topgolf itself, but there was a shooting outside.
Good Lord.
And they also had a situation within Topgolf there. It's not the standard, but that was a strange situation I found myself in there. And I'm trying to remember, I think Birmingham may have been the other one that I went to. It was either Birmingham or Nashville. I'm having trouble remembering, but it's a great time. And you don't even have to be a golfer. You don't even have to love golf, because it's kind of like going out to bowl some other fun family night or friends night event. Topgolf is awesome. I love it.
The other thing about Topgolf is evidently it's almost a tourist attraction. The Mobile does not have the greatest influx of tourists. This is not a tourism town. Now, people with Visit Mobile would differ, and I'm sure they've got some numbers that would say, no, Dan, you're wrong about that, but it's not a Savannah or a Charleston in terms of tourism. But I think the I'm looking at all the cities where Topgolf is. Now, maybe it's also in big cities, I guess.
Well, it's been around a while now, and I think they started in the big cities.
It started in the big cities, but now you can see that they're in cities not all similar to Mobile, but in a way, like Wichita, like El Paso, maybe Albuquerque, Greensboro, North Carolina, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting these tax advantages and breaks to get there. I think the idea is almost, I'm going to compare it to a medical center. That sounds stupid, but people will come to Mobile from 50, 60, 70 miles away.
Yes.
To come because Topgolf is an event. Like, you can't get it, you know, where it'll be a regional draw, I would guess.
Well, before I had my two young daughters, that was part of, if we went to a city with Topgolf and were there for any amount of time, we would try to include it in the schedule, in the itinerary, because it's a great time. Now, you need to take your wallet, generally, because there's plenty of things to spend money on. You know, you won't, unless you go with a very kind friend, you're going to end up spending some money at these Topgolf places, which is probably what Mobile is banking on, literally, making this investment. When I saw $2.5 million in tax incentives, I was thinking, well, that seems steep, right?
So that was this morning when that was one of the first things you looked at, and I said, man, I don't know about us being in the business of, you know, government being in the business of that. You went ahead and did some research and found out that that's pretty much it's standard fare for local governments to be, you know, kind of in bed with Topgolf and recruit them in.
And it's a wide range for how much these cities and municipalities spend to bring Topgolf in. So let's take Albuquerque, for example. Looking at some posts from them from back in, it was earlier this year. So they're on almost the same timeline as we are. And in the Albuquerque Journal, what were the terms of the incentives? What programs did the funds come from? For Albuquerque, it said they required the city to invest up to $2.57 million under New Mexico's Local Economic Development Act. So that's pretty close to what we're talking about here.
Yes.
But additionally, the county commission there voted to contribute another $1.75 million. And these are all through either grants or tax revenue reimbursements. It's not cheap to put up these Topgolf venues. Most I've seen are anywhere from $18 to $30 million a piece for the building of it. Birmingham is probably, if not Jacksonville, Birmingham would be the closest to us right now for Topgolf. And they had a really weird and really interesting contract signed up with or written up with Topgolf, because the mayor there, Randall Woodfin, is making such a push for black and women-owned businesses. They included that in their deal with Topgolf. The way they worked this out was they signed, and this is from AL.com, Topgolf and Arco Murray Construction Incorporated signed an inclusion agreement with the city of Birmingham with a goal of 30% participation by minority and women-owned firms in the construction of Birmingham's Topgolf facility.
Wow.
As an incentive, the city, in a separate project agreement, promised Topgolf a minimum annual payment of $228,000 or 30% of sales tax revenue, up to a cap of $1.5 million. So they actually, their agreement was $500,000 less than the Mobile one looks to be. But because they made the deal this way, that there had to be, in the building of that Topgolf facility in Birmingham, at least 30% minority or women-owned firms participating, Topgolf, in the $25 million project, spent $601,000 with minority and women-owned firms.
They didn't meet it.
Didn't meet the 30% threshold. So Birmingham, it appears to me, got out of paying those incentives back to Topgolf. Now, as far as I know, there's still having Topgolf in Birmingham. I believe people still go there. You also have some other places like Des Moines. Now, Des Moines did not bring in Topgolf necessarily, but the company Sweet Shots, which licenses Topgolf technology, they said they were developing a multi-million dollar facility in Des Moines. And then another company, Johnston, said they were making a place called Bombers to build something very similar in the city. The writer of this article said, sounds great until you hear what is behind the second one, that some of your tax dollars will pay for it. Theirs included $14 million in tax increment financing rebates to build the facility, this Bombers facility. So $14 million, it wasn't Topgolf, but something similar for them. Another one here, El Paso, went with $5 million in tax incentives for Topgolf to start construction. They gave them $5.2 million in tax breaks there. And another one I got to here, El Paso, or is that the one I just went through?
One you
okay,
just
so El Paso, $5.2 million. But if you Google Topgolf tax incentives, you'll go down the list and you'll see many of the mid-sized towns, let's say Mobile-sized towns, are basically investing and putting tax incentives towards bringing Topgolf in.
And I wonder if the big cities had to do that too, you wonder.
It doesn't appear to be the case. It looks like St. Louis didn't have to do that, bring them in. Also, I don't believe Philadelphia, which has two locations, included tax incentives there to bring them in. But is it worth it? Maybe you've been to Topgolf, maybe you haven't. Are you comfortable with $1.5 million in tax incentives coming from both the commission and the city council in order to bring them to town?
And I would say that both Philadelphia and St. Louis are legitimately tourism cities. I mean, Philadelphia's got that thing called the Liberty Bell. Ever hear of that?
No.
They've also got, you know, forever, every piece of American history, not every piece, but you know what I'm saying. The history is just drenched all over that town. And then in St. Louis, you've got an amazing thing. Oh, it's the Arch. And then you see it, and then you're done.
Well, Mobile is known for its history as well. But generally, I think most visitors come in for events, whether it's like teacher conventions.
Yeah.
You do have the people that love their history that come to Mobile and want to see all that. But you also have a lot of people that leave from the beach and come up to see the battleship and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Would Topgolf be enough to bring them here? Ben says Baldwin County should counteroffer. Give Topgolf $500,000 more and get them to leave Mobile and come there.
Wow.
But McGowan Park, that looks like where they're planning to set up shop.
Cutting us at the knees, Ben. This portion of the show, Mobile Mornings, brought to you by the AOC Sports Team, delivering superior orthopedic care to athletes, as well as unique sports medicine service to coaches, parents, certified athletic trainers. They really work with the schools and with the personnel, all to get the young athlete back into the game. It's really a good, comprehensive program. If you want to find out about getting an appointment to inquire about sports medicine coverage at an event where you're going to be, we've got plenty of those on the way here with fall sports. Call the Sports Medicine Hotline at AOC, Alabama Orthopedic Clinic, 251-380-SPRT. That's 7778. Speaking of fall sports, high school football kicking off this week, and it looks like by next week and Ladd People Stadium is back in the game.
Yeah, they're thinking next Thursday, the first game there, I guess.
Yeah, Ladd is going to be Ladd again, says C.J. Drinkard, the stadium manager at Ladd People Stadium. The Michigan group is out. They were managers of Ladd People Stadium for years, and the board hired Drinkard back, I believe, in June. So here we go, high school football back at Ladd People Stadium. And we all know why it went away suddenly last year in the middle of the season. Because of that shooting at Ladd People Stadium in the third quarter of a game where management, well, I should say security, just blew it.
Yeah.
And let a guy back in that did what he did. As far as security, the only part of this story that says anything about it is the stadium says they are updating security. They are releasing an 18-point security protocol to ensure that the stadium remains safe. Well, it didn't remain safe last year. That's all I've got to say about that. I've done tons of games there. We did them all the time early in our this is our 22nd year doing high school football. 22 years.
Wow.
So early on.
You can
on,
drink now.
Early on, we were at Ladd a lot with games like with Williamson and Blunt and Murphy and on and on. Davidson was a good team back then, and we did a lot of their games.
Yeah, so October 15th was that game last year between Vigor and Williamson.
Yep.
When the shots were fired. You also had the same thing happen back in 2019 with many more injuries from that one. And does security, you know, you can get a gun around security, even if they've got things locked up tight. Although it's much easier when they don't,
yeah.
And we saw what happened last year.
Metal
when
detectors were taken out at halftime. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's easy to say, why doesn't security do their job when you're talking about a teenager that brings a gun in? But before that happened, I can imagine, you know, if a mama of one of the kids that's out there playing runs out to the car to grab a blanket or something, say it's a cold night, and then encounters issues with security on the way back in. It's what I'm trying to say is it's easy for them to get complacent,
yep.
Especially in a situation like that. And I think now, you know, it's up to Ladd. This can't happen again.
No.
Or we mean it this time. No more games, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's the route they're taking.
I don't know what the route is they're taking, but you're so right. And that was not a matter of complacency. Complacency is an attitude, kind of, you know. This was an action. They took down the metal detectors.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Unthinkable at a stadium that already had a shooting a couple of years earlier.
We'll see how that goes throughout the year. A couple texts about the Topgolf thing I want to get to. Tim said, I think we need to stop wasting our money on businesses that won't be here but just a few years. Daniel and Foley said he agrees with Ben. Bring it on down to Baldwin County. Pat says 5 to 6 years. I think that's good ROI. I guess that would be about... I haven't seen that timeline mentioned there, but the $2 or $3 million in tax incentives, I guess that's about where it would work out to.
I did Google Topgolf shut down or goes out of business, and I haven't seen any articles about that.
They're pretty popular places.
8:30 on FM Talk 106.5 with Dana Dalton and Rob Holbert from Lanyap Mobile on the way. All right, y'all. 8:35, FM Talk 106.5. My goodness, it is pouring out there right now. And we've got the accidents to prove it.
Yeah, Leanna poked her head in. You know, she keeps her eyes on the Aldot cameras all morning, especially on mornings like this. And it's like southbound 65 at eastbound I-10. all lanes stopped. Mm. That is a tough place to stop all the traffic.
Wow.
Wrecked there. Looking at some pictures, it looks like it's right there where you begin to merge, like okay. where 65 literally meets 10 down mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. Off the ramp. So be careful. That's, again, southbound 65 to eastbound 10, and quite a few accidents this morning. We'll talk with Rob Holbert with Lanyap online at lanyapmobile.com here in just a second. I wanted to get to a few more of your texts here. John, not happy with the Baldwin County folks saying they should overbid Mobile for Topgolf.
Well, I mean, that was no Baldwin County officials have said that.
No, that was just listeners.
People on the text line.
John said, it figures somebody from Baldwin County would want to counteroffer Mobile County on Topgolf. Baldwin County tries to hog up everything. They wouldn't have half of what they have if it weren't for Mobile. I wish people in Baldwin would think about what we give them in the form of paychecks or electronic pay these days. For people who work over here and live there, I wish they'd just shut up about all that. I don't want to be enemies with them, but sometimes they leave me with no other choice.
I don't want to be enemies with them, but let me continue my assault on anybody that lives in Baldwin County.
Hey, I stand with John. Just specifically with the Topgolf thing. I stand with John. Yeah, okay. Shut up with all your whining over there. This other texter said, one thing I haven't heard is the high possibility that Topgolf, this is from Tony, one thing I haven't heard is the high possibility that Topgolf coming here will no doubt bring other restaurants and entertainment to the area if it's successful. Pat, he said, I would say on average that big of a company would pay $200,000 or so in taxes a year. It's kind of how he worked up how many years these tax incentives would be worth.
Right.
But as we saw, plenty of other places are paying much more in tax incentives to get Topgolf to come to their town. And from the story earlier, they should average somewhere around 80 to 90 full-time workers, and then many more come summertime, seasonal workers or even part-time workers, so that it would bring money into the economy. It's just whether that ROI is there, and that's something that we've discussed with Rob Holbert time and time again with other tourist honey traps. Can I say that? Tourist honey traps in Mobile.
So, but Mobile clears out during the summer. That's the weird part about Mobile. Like, the Bay Bears would have some crowds in April and May, and then suddenly things would just, the vine would die. And
everyone gets on the water.
June and July, yeah. Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
We're good. Have you been to a Topgolf somewhere around the country?
I never have. No, I've not been to one.
It's a good time. It's a really good time. I think a lot of them, if not all of them, have big arcades in there. You order food, you order drinks. That's how the ticket can end up being so high by mm-hmm. the end of the night. It's like $50 an hour to rent a bay, but you get a bunch of friends over, everyone kind of chips in, and it ends up being a good night. But with something that's on that property, Hank Aaron Stadium, we've talked plenty of times about the money being poured in from the city into that, and whether it's worth it. Is this something that we should be, I know we should be at least aware of it, but is it something we should worry about bringing another big tourist attraction into town?
I mean, I think it's a good thing. You know, they are certainly very popular everywhere that they have them. I mean, you know, we I guess there's enough of a track record there to see that.
So let's talk about what we've got going on here. Like yesterday, our three big things, they were almost primarily all local, including the Civic Center.
Yeah. Center and the bridge.
Yeah.
A couple fantastic articles at Lanyap, and I know you have a couple new journalists working there as well that are already off to a great start. But Dale Leash was writing about the Civic Center goings-on at City Council earlier this week, and two plans put up by this group, Populous Architects, one that involves getting rid of the theater, one that involves renovating the theater, and I think the two price points, one would be $132 million without the theater renovation, $160-something million to keep the theater. Thoughts on these two proposals, Rob?
Well, I mean, I think it's what we kind of expected, is that there was going to be an effort to renovate the Civic Center. This group that they're talking to has, I guess they just did one in Jefferson County as well. But, I mean, I think it's it makes the smart choice, I think, is to renovate it. So it will be cheaper, believe it or not, even with that price tag, it'll be cheaper than building a brand new one, I think.
Yeah, and something's got to be done, right? We've been at the point. The other thing is, it maybe has to be renovated to make it viable for concerts and shows and things like that in the first place, right? I mean, big shows.
Yeah, it has to. I mean, it has to be able to hold the equipment that hangs from the ceiling. That is that's the thing. That's why we don't get the big concerts there.
Am I right to say one of the squeakiest wheels through all of these conversations have been the Mardi Gras organizations, which have used the Civic Center for so many years for their balls and other goings on, and it seemed like that played a pretty major role in the discussion here.
It played a role in it not being shut down, period.
Yeah,
which
good point.
Was at one point, I believe, Mayor Stimson's plan was just like, we're going to shut it down. I think he made an announcement.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have been a group that has been vocal about keeping it open and needing a place to be. And I think it went from a sort of a concept of let's close it down, tear it down, and put something back there to, you know, I think that's one of the big reasons we are where we are now is looking at it and saying, can we keep this thing going? It's still going to have to be renovated. That still may be a tough thing to get done in, you know, a year's time. If we say, okay, well, let Mardi Gras get through, and then we're going to start. Can we be ready by the next Mardi Gras? I don't know. Nobody's even said anything about that yet in terms of how long it really is going to take to get it done. If they can make it happen, maybe they can make it happen. I don't know. But it may require a little bit of a move around for 1 year. But, I think it will still leave Mardi Gras much the same.
So, among the other places around the country that you took a building and renovated it rather than tearing it down and putting up a new arena, they've done it in Phoenix, their arena. They've done it in Atlanta. If you remember the old Omni, Rob, that was completely gutted inside, and the arena was kind of rebuilt inside the walls of the existing structure. They even kind of changed the walls itself, but right there in place. And even Madison Square Garden was renovated from the inside. So it has been done before, is my point.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not a new concept at all.
Right, right.
So it's actually probably the more likely concept a lot of times. But, you know, Biloxi just went through a huge renovation not all that long ago. It's not an unusual thing to do.
Yeah. I went to the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum last year to see Disney on Ice. I didn't go alone. I had my family with me.
Yeah, because that would be really that would have been weird.
And you know, looking
around, it would have been kind of creepy if you went by yourself.
Looking around though, I mean, I was like, I think the Mobile Civic Center looks better than this already than the Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum. Of course, there are problems with how much weight they can handle to have these big speakers and things up there. But I also just went to the Civic Center Theater a few weeks ago to see Paw Patrol again. I did not go alone. I went with the family. And
these disclaimers are a little startling. Dalton, the fact that you... Okay.
Two nights, and it was full both nights. So there is potential there, even with the Sanger sitting just a few streets away. So I think it is, in a way, necessary. I'm just wondering how much the city needs to put into it. And again, this big discussion around ROI. But the other big discussion, of course, is the bridge.
Yeah.
And at the convention center, it was at Gulf Quest that they brought in a bunch of different people interested in getting a chunk of that $2.7 billion and be the companies to help build the bridge and the new bayway. And a little more clarity on the timeline now from the meeting this week that looks like construction at the earliest could begin in early 2024. I think very early on, they were talking about getting it started next year, but it seems like that'll be the application process and the selection and everything. And then start in 2024, I guess that puts us at 2028, 2029, that they could get this thing done.
That's what they're saying. I mean, again, you know, that's a lot of building to get done in 4 years, whatever. But it's, you know, if they can do it, they can do it. I don't, you know, that's what they're saying at this point. I mean, obviously, we need this. We need to get it done. I think it's, you know, this seems like it's happening. You know, it really does feel like it's finally going to happen.
It does, and you're right. The construction is going to be extraordinary. The bridge and the bayway, and God help us all that there's going to be more rubbernecking on the current I-10 in the Bayway. I know. Why would you bring that up, Brennan? Because it's occurred to me that people are going to be like, it's going to be a spectacular thing to watch, yeah. especially the bridge. And as the Bayway is getting built, just more eyes off the road, which we do not yeah. need. So go ahead and build it as quickly as you can.
More people into the side of the tunnel.
Maybe they can put up a giant sheet to yeah. keep people from looking over
yeah,
there.
That might be a good idea.
A tarp, right.
Nothing to look at here, folks.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Also in Lagniappe this week, a story I'm following more and more closely every week is this SOS towing and the Smith family. We talked with you quite a bit last week about Alabama, one of the newest laws passed by the legislature that during these civil asset forfeiture cases, which generally it would involve drug cases, I think, but in this instance, we're talking about civil asset forfeiture with a towing company and their tow truck still in the impound lot. And they were given, so Mobile City impound lot was given 7 days to give the trucks back to the Smith family. And they went out on Tuesday, which would have been day seven. And the trucks were just completely out of working order. Batteries weren't working, dry rotted headlights, filled with water, tires underinflated. They'd been sitting there for 14 months, were infested with wasps. So they weren't able to take the trucks off the lot just yet. And it continues to be a major problem for this family business.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to look at this case and feel like there's some real abuse by the government on this case. You know, they were told to give this, I mean, the judge told them to give the trucks back, you know, quite some time ago. And then, you know, through some technical difficulties with his ruling, I mean, you know, of course, prosecution takes it and they go to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court says, hey, you got to redo this thing. They didn't say, hey, you can keep the trucks. They said, you just got to redo it. But the process, you know, the DA's office kept delaying and delaying and delaying. And so now it's been sitting there for months and months. And they basically, it sounds like they've almost let them get ruined in the process.
Yeah, it does.
And, you know, I don't know how, I mean, I'm sure down the line this thing's going to get, you know, there's going to be lawsuits over this. There's going to be a long issue, I think, with all this. I would imagine this family's going to have to go after the, you know, government on this, on the local government. But the question is, you know, is they kept the truck, even though they had to give all the others back, they used a technicality to keep the trucks. And on top of that, it's not even the right, you know, the forfeiture isn't drug related. And so, I mean, we've talked to elected officials about it. They feel like it's a misuse of the law. You know, DA's office is trying to play this game of, we didn't actually use the law, so that's not really what happened. But basically what they did was showed them the law and said, this is what we're going to do, so you either agree to this or not. So it's this just kind of flim-flammy program. It's really disappointing to me, honestly, to look at it. It feels like, you know, if you were on the other side of that, if you were in that position, you'd really feel run over by local government.
Yeah. If your name were Smith, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Hey, speaking of elected officials, before you go, Rob, charges against Mobile Councilman Ben Reynolds dismissed in Baldwin County. How? Why? What's up?
I mean, it's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. I mean, I think that, you know, just reading between the lines on that whole thing, it seemed to me like he, you know, may have mouthed off a little bit or gotten too involved in this circumstance when his friend was being arrested. And, you know, I don't think anybody really thought he was going to be prosecuted very long, but, you know, they took him in and they basically made him sit overnight in jail. So it sounds to me like it was kind of a, you know, circumstance of, well, you know, you want to run your mouth, this is what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes off to me as. It doesn't, you know, I'm not surprised at all that this is not going forward because it's a pretty minor thing.
Time served.
Yeah, we've seen people get off on much worse charges and his name put out there in the fashion it's been, more than likely punishment enough for something like that.
Yeah, but I agree.
Rob, great issue out on Stands Now. Lagniappe, you also write about the closed primaries, which people can check out in Damn the Torpedoes this week. Where can folks pick up their copies and where can they sign up online?
Of course, you can find us all over town in our purple boxes and in, you know, grocery stores, places like that, but also go online at lanyetmobile.com. We have two new reporters, and I will tell you, we've put out a ton of news in the last week that is online. And if you are not a subscriber, you're missing a lot of news. Just pick up the paper. You know, there's going to be stuff that's not in there. There's breaking news almost every day now.
Also, the high school issue this week, right? High school football.
Yeah, we got the high school football issue. The Gridiron Guide is out there. Tommy Hicks written about 1,500 stories, I think.
Pretty good, yeah. Okay,
it's,
man.
It's a lot. Maybe Thanks. Not 1,500, but it's a lot.
that's now my football guide.
it's a tremendous amount, but he got it done. It's really great to the local high school football. It's a great read.
Thanks, Rob. Talking a week, okay?
Hi, guys. Have a great
week. Rob Hobert, Lanyap. You'll find him online, lanyapmobile.com. And we're coming back to wrap up Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 8:56, wrapping up Mobile Mornings. Reminder, get signed up for the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge presented by Spring Hill Ace Hardware, a fantastic prize package. I think we'll reveal it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And guess who's playing this year? Team 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Yeah, he's in the mix.
He's in the game. Trey Bennett, he's playing. He's also doing a fantastic job as 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Picking up that junk in both Mobile and Baldwin counties, they're local, and they've been local the whole time. Over 14 years, 1-800-GOT-JUNK's been in Mobile. Drew sent in a review. He said, I've used 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile, Alabama's services 3 or 4 times now, and I seriously love these guys. Can't recommend them enough from the get-go. They're super quick to respond and prompt to get us on the schedule. I don't think I've ever waited more than one business day between when I called and when they were out at the property. Yeah, they sure do a great job, and you can call them today to have them make that junk disappear. Their number is the name, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can also find them online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
What a lineup for Jeff Ford today, including some big names. Former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Roy Moore. Ever hear of him?
Yeah, he's about $9 million richer after that court settlement.
Mm-hmm. It's like the guy won the lottery. And also, former Governor Robert Bentley.
Wow.
The Love Gov is in the mood.
Yeah, I don't
to talk to Jeff Poore.
I don't think he's $9 million richer.
I don't think he is.
But he has been a great analyst, political analyst, when he comes on Jeff's show.
Yes. You know, like a guy who retired from the game. But actually, history tells you the game retired him.
Yeah.
So a little more...
he's like A-Rod. You listen to A-Rod on ESPN.
A-Rod of governors?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some great, great stuff there from Governor Bentley. Also, Todd Stacey joins in the first hour. State Representative Danny Garrett in the second hour, and ALGOP Chairman John Wall. So a stacked show coming up on the Jeff Poore Show.
Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton, the show that compares Governor Bentley to Alex Rodriguez. And if you've missed why, that's it. You can't miss a moment of this show.
No. Well, we have a podcast.
We have a podcast, so you can miss it all you want. It's raining out there. Y'all be careful. There are wrecks all over the place. So Jeff Poore on the way.